The scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, which can be found in your pew Bible, starting on page 783. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord.
So this is a Sunday in which we do things a little back to front. Normally, the sermon is longer and the children's time is shorter. Today, the children's time will be longer and the sermon is shorter. The children's time usually comes before the sermon. Sermon is coming first, which is what we're going to get into just now. In a few moments after this, we'll be inviting the children forward for their time down here. And let me just say right now that if parents want to come with their children, do come. And the definition of children is very loose. So if you feel as if you've graduated out of coming down to children's time but want to come, that's okay too. All that by way of introduction, I do, as you might expect, want to have us think a little bit about the Christmas story and the meaning and the significance of a story that many of us have heard time and time again ever since childhood, of course. I want to begin with a couple of lists of names and see if you recognize any of these names. The first list goes like this: Louise Rayner, Tilda Swinton, Alicia Vikander, and Jared Leto. Any of you know those names? Some of you may recognize those names, not many, but they have something in common with names which I guarantee that almost all of you have heard of before: Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks. Anybody heard of Tom Hanks? All heard of Tom Hanks, Denzel Washington, Morgan Freeman, Cate Blanchett. All of them, including those in my first list, have won an Oscar. Every single one of them, they've won an Oscar. So even though the first names may not be familiar, hey, they've done really well. They won the Oscar, not in the Best Actor or Best Actress category, the second group did, but in the Best Supporting Actor or Actress category. For some who win in the Best Supporting Actor or Actress category for the Oscars, sometimes they go on to win the best one down the road. But for some, that is sort of like the end of their career. Well, not really the end of their career, but the pinnacle of their career. They have done what they set out to do, and they've done it really well. In fact, they've done it better than anybody else in the whole wide world. And what did they set out to do? To make sure that the story in all its depth was told well. And they played their part to make sure that the story was heard and to make sure that the stars in the story shine. That's what a supporting actor or actress does, to make sure that the limelight is not shone on them, but the light is shone on those who are at the heart of the story. And it's a remarkable role. And these ones, even though their names may be not familiar to us, they have done this very well indeed. Indeed, for any movie to take place successfully, there are lots of people who actually play a supporting role. So I don't know if you're among the people who watch a movie and then at the end of the movie, you wait for all of the credits to go by. My wife and I tend to do that, could because we're lazy, we don't want to get up from the seat at the end of the movie, or the crowd is going to say, just wait. But we watch those names. There are dozens, there are hundreds of names of people who are involved in movies these days. So a year ago, we did this with a movie that some of you may have seen, others of you may not have seen. Don't know how many of you have seen Aquaman. Aquaman is a DC Comics movie. And we went to that movie. Well, maybe I just wanted to go to the movie, but we went because one of my seminary friend's sons was involved in the high-tech stuff behind the movie. They live in Australia, and a group in Australia was involved in the high-tech behind this movie. And we wanted to see his name on the screen. So we sit through the movie. It's a good story. In fact, it's one of the top 20 highest-grossing movies of all time. You may not have known that, but over $1 billion. So we sit through, and then these names scroll on and on and on. And there is his name up there, and it's the highlight of the whole movie for us when we see his name up there, best supporting whatever he does in that role. And this movie takes place because he and dozens of people like him play their part. And when they play the part, the movie is spectacular. And it was great, a great movie to go to. Some movies are actually about people who play a supporting role. So one of my favorite movies about a person who plays a supporting role is now 25 years old, and it's the movie Rudy. Don't know if you've seen the movie Rudy. It's always a good movie to get out to watch again. But Rudy is about a young man from Chicago who wants to go to Notre Dame. But he's not that bright. He wants to play football for Notre Dame football. He loves Notre Dame football. But he's not that big. He plays football, and the chances of getting into Notre Dame are slim. But he does everything he can to get into the university. And he succeeds. He goes to junior college, and they let him in. There's no way that he's going to get on the main football team. He's just not big enough. But he does get a place on what's called the scout team. The scout team is pretty much the people who are willing to give up their lives and their bodies to be beaten up by the real team so that the real team can learn the game. So they're there on the practice field, dead meat for all these big hunks who are out there, and he wants to play his part. And some people laugh at him for this, but then after a while, they realize that what Rudy wants is for the team to shine, for the team to be the best that it can be. And he is giving up himself for them so that they can shine. And they finally begin to see this. And having laughed at him, they turn things around to honor him. And I won't give away the end of the movie. If you haven't seen it, there's a great end to the movie as well. But it's a wonderful story of somebody who chose that role to be a supporter so that other people could shine. When it comes to the Christmas story, the question I want us to think about is, who are the stars of the show? Who gets the best actor, actress award? Who gets the best supporting actor and actress award? Well, there's no question that the best actress has to go to Mary. And the best actor, well, Jesus is at the center of the story. So, I mean, those ones are taken right from the outset. You might say that there's a whole cast of others out there. You've got the angels out there. You've got the wise men out there. You've got the shepherds out there. But when it comes to the Oscar nominations, generally it doesn't go to a group. It's going to go to an individual. So who is left for the best supporting actor or actress award to go to? I don't know if you know, but I was just handed a card just before I came here. And inside the card, I have the answer to that question. though these days, you actually have to read it twice to make sure you've got the right one here. But what it says here is that the best supporting actor goes to Joseph. I don't know if you're listening to the scripture reading, but basically what the angel says to Joseph when the angel comes to Joseph in a dream is basically, don't mess up. Don't mess up. This is all under control, and you've just got to go with the program here. Don't divorce Mary. Don't abandon Mary. God's in charge of this situation. And even if you are going to have a son, you're not going to call him Joe Jr. That's not what you're going to do. This child's name is going to be Jesus, and that's the way that it is. That's how it's going to play out, and you do your part. And Joseph does his part. And he does it spectacularly well. He appears in the story just one other time when Jesus is 12 years of age, and that's it, disappears. But he's done everything that he needed to do to make sure that the light shines on the right person and the right story is told and heard. Many of us, all of us at some time or another, ask ourselves, what's our purpose in life? And many people want to be the star. And to a certain extent, from a human level, that's okay. But the truth of the matter is, we weren't created to be the star. The star is Jesus. And what we find is that when we realize that, when we realize that our role is actually to be the best supporting actor or actress so that the light keeps shining on Jesus, what we find is that our fulfillment is far greater than it would ever be if we were at the center instead of him. That's the way God has designed it. It's paradoxical, but in fact, the whole Christmas story is filled with paradox. But that's the way it works out, that when in fact we realize that our role in life is to make him shine, whether we feel like shining or not, whether things are going well for us or things are going poorly for us, it's remarkable what God does in and through us. This is the role to which we've been called. This is why Jesus is at the center of the story, in this story in particular, but throughout the gospel story, but in this story in particular, and why this Christmas, perhaps more than any other time, we need to remember all this stuff about the Oscars, best actor, actress, supporting actor, actress, and ask what our role is and where our greatest joy will lie. You know it to be true in some of your relationships with others that when you put them first, something happens to you. We were made that way so that Jesus is first, and our joy is found when we make that a daily reality. May that be something that we ponder and think about in this season and always. And may you, when you stand before God, find your name on this here as well. Best supporting actor or actress with Jesus, the star of the show. Let us pray. Lord Most High, we bow before you and ask that you would help us to sort out our lives in this Christmas season and all the hustle and bustle, and make sure that you are our priority, and to find that when we do that, deliberately do that, our lives find an order and a peace that perhaps we've been seeking all our lives. Hear this, our prayer. Amen. So we're going to sing now, and as we sing, let me invite the children. And if you want to bring an adult with you, that's fine. Children, come forward and join me over here. Boys and girls, I'm going to be handing out some gifts to you, but these are gifts that you have to give back to me when I ask for them back. I know this can be really hard, but that's part of the story today. And I'm going to ask these wise people over here to help I've got another helper down here so that you all get one of the pieces of the story. Okay. We've got a few extras. We're going to hand those out right now. Yeah. So you may get two. So we'll hold you two. So right off the bat, boys and girls, I'm going to ask for some camels. Does anybody have some camels? You may have to stand up and hand them to me. Got a camel. Another camel. There should be three camels. Got three camels right here, and they're going to go on the board. They're going to go right here and right here and right here. And then I've got to have some people who ride on them, and these are going to be the wise men. You got any little wise men over here? Yep, the wise men look like this. Okay, we need some others. There should be two others. There we go. Thank you very much indeed. Need one more wise person. One more. Yeah, let me see. One more. Ah! See, it's hard to hand them back. So we're going to put them right there. And then I need a star. Anybody have a star? We got a star right over here. Thank you very much. And I need a moon. Need a moon. Can you bring the moon up to me? Thank you very much indeed. And then I think I need the top of a palm tree. So we got the top of a palm tree leaves. No, yes, that's it. Thank you very much. Okay. Okay, I think that's everything that I need. Let's begin the story.
No, it's
not. Yeah, oh, wait a minute. We'll get everything in a little minute. But this is ready for us to begin right now. A long time ago, in a land far away, there were three people who spent a lot of time looking up at the sky. And when they looked up at the sky, they knew where all the stars in the heavens were. Not everybody did, but when something changed in the heavens, they knew it. And they saw a star they'd never seen before. And they said to themselves, you know, God knows where all the stars are in the sky. And if things change up there, then God knows about it. And maybe God has put that star in the sky for a purpose. So they began to read all their books. Their books didn't look like our books. Their books looked like this. Do you know what we call a book that looks like this? It's called a scroll. That's exactly right. So they looked at their books and they said, maybe there's a big war going to take place and God would put a star in the sky because of the war. Said, no, I don't think that's it. Maybe there's going to be a wonderful time of peace, and God puts the star in the sky because of peace. And they said, well, maybe so, but let's keep looking. And then one of them looked and said, I think God is putting the star in the sky because a baby is going to be born. And they said, but there are so many babies, and maybe all the stars in the sky are for the babies. But no, I don't think that's it. But then the person said, look, in the Bible, in the scriptures of the people of Israel, in the book of Isaiah, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This baby is going to be God who's going to come and live among us. And they looked at each other and said, well, if God was going to become a baby, then maybe God would put a star up in the sky. And if it's in the book of Isaiah, then maybe this baby is going to be born in the biggest city of God's people. That would be the city of Jerusalem. Maybe we need to go there. Wait a minute, they said, and they watched. And it looked as if the star was beginning to move. And they realized that God was telling them through the star that they had to move as well. So they packed up their camels. What kinds of things would they need for a long journey? What would they like to need to take, yeah?
They need water.
They need water. What else would they need for their journey, yeah?
They need food.
They would need food. They had lots to pack up, and maybe they needed clothes, but in sense they were going to see a baby who was born to be the king and was God who had come to be with them, they wanted to bring gifts as well. So they brought some gold and frankincense and myrrh. And while those may not be the kinds of gifts that you and I want to get at Christmas, they said, these are the best gifts that we can bring to the baby who has been born. So they packed everything, and they headed on their way. And as they head on the way and the star led them, all of us are going to sing a verse of Away in a Manger. So the wise men followed the star, and it led them to the city of Jerusalem, where they thought that they were going to go. And when they got to Jerusalem, they said to all the people there, "Do you know where the baby is who's going to be born the king?" And people said, "We haven't heard of any baby who is going to be born the king at all. Not around here," they said. And then somebody said, "But up in the palace they might know where a baby born to be the king was, up in King Herod's palace. Why don't you try up there?" And so the wise men headed up to the palace, and they were going to meet King Herod, who had a crown. Boys and girls, do you know, was King Herod a nice person or not a nice person?
Not a nice person.
Not a nice person. Was King Herod a nice person or not a nice person?
Not a nice person.
Not a nice person, though he pretended to be nice. When the wise men came, he said to them, "Oh, I am so glad that you are here." But he wasn't really glad at all. "What is it that I can help you with?" And they said, "Well, we have come to find the newborn king." And King Herod scratched his head and said, "You know, there is no newborn king here, but oh, if I knew where that king was, I would want to worship that king. So I wonder how we can find out." And he said, "You know, I've got some people just like you who read books. And I think I see one of the books right here, another scroll. And maybe they know where the baby is who has just been born." And they got out their scrolls, the people who helped King Herod, and they read and they read. And then they finally read from the book of the prophet Micah. And Micah said that the baby who is going to be born will be born in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, and it wasn't too far from Jerusalem. "That's where the baby is going to be born," said King Herod. "You need to go and find him, and when you do, would you like to come back and tell me where he is? Because I want to come and worship him." Did he really want to come and worship him? He did not want to come and worship him at all. And some angels warned the wise men not to go back and to tell King Herod, who wasn't a very nice person at all. But now the wise men knew where to go. They began to head on their way to Bethlehem. And as they headed on their way, we're going to sing another verse of Away in a Manger. Outside of Bethlehem, there were some shepherds, and I think we've got one shepherd right here. Do you know what a shepherd does?
It takes care of sheep.
Did you all hear that? Takes care of sheep. That's exactly right. So do we have some sheep? Need a couple of sheep. They've only got two, but I think they took care of a lot more than two sheep. And there were a lot more shepherds than just the shepherd that is right here in front of us here. So you imagine that there were lots of shepherds, and it was nighttime, and they were watching over their sheep, and they were talking with each other. And one of them was saying, you know what? I think maybe God has forgotten all about us. Do you think ever God ever forgets about us?
No.
No, I don't think God ever forgets about us. But that's what they said. I think God has forgotten about us. And one of the shepherds said, why do you say that? And the shepherd said, well, a long time ago, God promised to send us his son, our savior. And it's never happened. And I don't think it's ever going to happen. If you ever waited for something and it seems as if it's just never going to happen and you have to wait and wait and wait. He said, it's never going to happen. And the other one said, oh, yes, it is. And they went back and forth. Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, no, it isn't. And then all of a sudden, there was someone in the sky. Who was in the sky? Ah, God was there, and God sent his messenger, who is an angel. And the angel spoke to the shepherds and said, listen, today in the city of David in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born. The time has come. His name is Jesus. Exactly. And you are going to be the first ones who are going to go to see him. So you need to get ready. Somebody probably needs to look after the sheep. But you need to get ready and to go into Bethlehem and to find that baby. And all of a sudden, there wasn't just one angel there. There were lots of angels filling the sky. And they were singing. As quickly as they sang, they disappeared. But they sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with everybody with whom God is pleased. And the shepherd said, well, listen, we've got to do this. We have to go and find this baby. So the angel disappeared, but the star kept on shining, and they headed on their way to Bethlehem. And as they do so, we're going to sing our hymn once again. So the angel said that you're going to find this baby not in a house, a fancy place, but lying in a manger. And a manger is a place where animals eat their food. So they were going to look in a barn, and they opened up the doors to all kinds of places, and they never found that baby until they reached one last place. And when they came to that, when they came to that barn, they saw two turtle doves. Do you have any turtle doves? I think this is one right here. Looks like this. Got the other one right there. They saw two turtle doves. And they saw a cow. Does anybody have a cow? I think we've got a cow right here. And they saw a donkey. Got a donkey right here. And they saw a daddy. Does anybody have a daddy? And they saw a mommy. Thank you. They saw a manger. And the manger is gray. That's it right there. And there was straw in the manger. Does anybody have any straw? Yeah. Is that all that they saw?
A baby.
A baby. Ah. There was a baby. Does anybody have the baby? Ah. They saw the baby as well. And they realized that the baby was not just a gift that was given to Mary and to Joseph, but the baby, if I can get the baby to stay on here. Oops, let me see. Nope. I'm just going to hold the baby right here. The baby was given to every single one of us as a gift. Now, boys and girls, we all have friends, but this baby whose name, what was the name of the baby again?
Jesus.
Was Jesus, is the best friend we can ever have. And God gave him to us as somebody who would love us and care for us as our best friend forever. And I think that Jesus is the best gift that God could give to anyone. Thank you, boys and girls, for taking part in the story. Let's close with a prayer right now. Let's pray, and we'll ask everybody to join in. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to us and for all your friends, Mary and Joseph, the wise men and the shepherds, the angels and all the animals. Thank you for each other and your love for us. Amen. Boys and girls, thank you for being my friends. As you go back, we're going to sing our hymn again.